The key word for this morning is the word shake. Okay, I'm not going to do some kind of weird dance moves. Don't worry. It's all about when God shakes your world. All right, when God shakes your world. And just to give you a little bit of context for this sermon, so next week, that's right, I'm going on a bit more than I thought I would. Apologies, Benedict. So next week, we're going to start a sermon series about money. Okay, so 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 5 weeks about money. But we didn't want to kick off the new year with money. So I want to just do something a bit different just for today. So this prophet, this Old Testament prophet, maybe a little bit obscure, this guy Haggai, he's looking around at his city, Jerusalem. And the city is in ruins. Okay, I'm just giving you some context for what Benedict's about to read. So his city is in ruins. And it's not literally been shaken. There hasn't been an earthquake, but metaphorically it's been shaken. Okay? The city, the nation has been burned to the ground by a guy called Nebuchadnezzar II, who was the king of Babylon. So the city's destroyed. And in particular, the center of the city, the temple, which was once a stunning building, is now destroyed. It's in ruins. All the good stuff is gone. And of course, the temple symbolizes God's presence with them. And now it's destroyed. So the people are feeling pretty miserable. Pretty miserable. Their hearts have sunk. And they're asking questions like, where is God? You know, and my nation, my city has been shaken to its very core. Where is God in all this? Benedict, come and read for us. Thank you.
Okay. Chapter 2, verse 3-9. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declared the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declared the Lord. And walk. For him with you, declared the Lord. For I am with you, declared the Lord. This is what I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nation, and what is desired by all nation will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declared the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
When God shakes your world. This world is being shaken, I think. This is a quote from John Simpson. He's the veteran news editor for the BBC, for World Affairs. He said this: I've never seen a year quite as worrying as 2025. He says something like, I've reported on 40 different war zones, in 40 different war zones in my career. He said, I've never seen so much war and violence and trouble going on. And we've seen it, haven't we? In Russia, Ukraine, we've seen Israel, Gaza. There's all kinds of trouble in Nigeria at the moment and in Sudan and many, many other places too. This world is being shaken. But I think this nation is being shaken as well, in all kinds of ways. I think some of those ways are really good, and some of those ways are really bad. So I think there's a rise, and you might be surprised at what I come up with here, there's been a rise in religiosity in this nation, for sure. In fact, across Western Europe, actually. Like, and one little microcosm example of that, I think, is Kiel's CU Christmas bash at the end of last year, where they had 270 people. Is that right? I'm looking over there. Is that right? 270 people, I think. Yeah, yeah. I had to say yes, that's right. It's about double what they had the previous year. There's something. I don't think the food was loads better. I think it's just there's something stirring. That was quite small still, but there are little bits of it around the place. That's one way that I think our nation is being stirred. In bad ways as well, like the economy is very bad at the moment. It's very hard to find jobs. Many people I know in this room are looking for work right now, and it's difficult, isn't it? Really hard to find jobs right now. Money is very tight for a lot of people right now. Another way that I think our nation is being shaken is politics has become much more polarised. Like, the centre ground almost doesn't seem to exist anymore. Like, you know, we're going to go into politics a little tiny bit today. Just a tiny bit, okay? So like, as far as I can tell, like the battle right now is between Reform on the right and the Greens on the left. Like, far left and far right. You know, where the centre ground seems to have kind of disappeared, doesn't it? That our nation is being shaken. And I think our church is being shaken as well, isn't it? If you've been here, put your hands up if you've been here for more than 5 years. Okay, actually, let's do it around. Put your hand up if you've been here for less than 5 years. Have a look at that, eh? See, that's why our church has been shaken. In 5 years, we've planted a church. We've still doubled in size, even after having planted a church. And we're starting a new service next week. We've gone from 10% ethnic minorities to probably over 50% now. And as a result of that, we've got an explosion of different theological viewpoints have come into our church. And that's wonderful, and that's great. But between us, we've got all kinds of different views about all kinds of different subjects. And I want to acknowledge this morning that for some, that's not been easy. It's felt like a shaking. You know, we all want to see the kingdom of God grow, in theory. But actually, the reality is that change is hard. Change is hard. This used to be, for many here, this used to be like a place where you knew everyone. Maybe for some here today, you felt like you used to be at the social centre of this church. And now you feel like you hardly know anyone. That's a kind of shaking. And these days, you have to find your own community within the community. And that's why our community groups are so important. I wonder whether maybe you are being shaken personally as well at this time. We live in a stormy world, don't we? Maybe today, maybe you feel the foundations of your house shaking. I hope not literally, but the winds and the waves of life, you can feel them crashing all around you. And for some, that's health. For others, that's visas, that's jobs, that's family, that's money. What's this passage all about in Haggai chapter 2? God is speaking to these defeated, despondent, depressed people. And he says this in verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? So in other words, like, come on people, put your hands up. Those of you who remember what the temple used to be like, how does it look to you now, says God? Does it not seem to you like nothing? In other words, confront the reality. Like, look at the world around you. Don't pretend that it isn't happening. Sometimes we can do that, can't we? Don't ignore the troubles. Don't be in denial about the difficulties and the shaking. Open your eyes. Open your eyes, God is saying. And look, This is how it is. And in the middle of that situation, with the eyes fully open, God says, in a little while, I will once again shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. In other words, everything. I'm going to shake everything up. That's the whole earth, not just a little corner of Israel. One day soon, I'm going to shake everything and I will shake all nations. And what is desired by all nations will come. And you might remember, this sound a little bit familiar to some of you? Because we talked about this like the beginning of the Christmas series, that this thing, this person that all nations desire will come is, of course, Jesus. Because he is what everybody wants. He is hope, and he is peace, and he is light, and he is life to all nations, to all people. So God is saying, so crack on, rebuild this temple, because it will be more glorious than the last one was. Why will it be more glorious? Because Jesus will be in the second one. He's going to come to the second one. You see, when Jesus was 8 days old, he's in that temple. He's bringing glory to it. He's there, 12 years old. He's teaching the religious leaders in that temple. He heals people in it. He purifies it. You remember, he turns the tables over and all the money changers go running. His last days are spent there. He brings glory to it. Okay. There is peril. There is peril in the shaking. When God shakes your world, there's danger. There's danger for us. There's a danger of fear and disunity. Now, some of you will know this guy. Did anybody see Tommy Robinson's Put Christ Into Christmas? Actually, don't put your hands up. But some of you, I'm sure, will have seen that event on YouTube. What do we do with Tommy Robinson, eh? I said I'd do a little bit of politics today. Don't be scared, it'll be okay. So this guy was a violent football thug, football hooligan. Been in prison multiple times. Seems to have converted to Christ in his last prison stay. This is a photo from his event in London called Put Christ Back Into Christmas. He would say he's not racist. Some here would say he certainly is, but he would say he's not racist. It's all about values. He talks about the dangers of Islam, for sure. And he would say the media has been dominated by university-educated liberals for the last 30 years. But those policies have brought misery on white working class people like him. That's what he'd say. And so to many white working class people in the UK, he is a hero. He is an absolute legend. And they love him. And his views are hugely popular right now. I think that's shaking our nation. So what do you do with Tommy Robinson? What do we do with him and others who are shaking politics in the UK? So for some, you would say, you know, is he just using Christianity as a tool to gain support for his right-wing politics? Maybe. Or is he a prophetic voice from the poor against the wealthy and powerful elites? Maybe. My point is, we are not going to agree. In this room, we're not going to agree on that. But this kind of politics is shaking the UK right now. And we're not going to ignore it. We're not going to ignore it. So some of you, I suspect some of you, when you saw that photo, you thought, goodness me, what is he doing? Like, you know, even to mention this name is horrific. Some of you, I suspect, are actually very pleased. Oh, finally, we're acknowledging something massive that's going on in the culture. Friends, if we expect the gospel to do its work, and I do, and I hope you do, if we expect the gospel to do its work, this church will gather people from the world with all kinds of views. Some of them will be more extreme than his, for sure. In the shaking, there's so much potential for fear and disunity. I love how in that passage that Benedict read to us, you've got a political leader, Zerubbabel. So he's the governor. And God says to him, be strong. Look at verse 4 if you've got your Bible open, Haggai 2 verse 4. God says to Zerubbabel, be strong, Zerubbabel. And then you've got Joshua. And I've put his dad's name, actually. It's a mistake. Joshua's easier to say as well, isn't it? Joshua is the religious leader. He's the high priest. And God's message to Joshua is the same. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong. And then to the people, God says again, all you people of the land, be strong and work. You see what God is saying through Haggai? He's saying, you've got to come together. You've got to have unity here between whether political, religious, the people. We've got to be strong. We've got to have some unity here. We've got a task to do. Now, in the context of church here, what does that mean? It means there's so much potential for disunity during the shaking. Whatever shaking our country might face, all kinds of potential for disunity here. But friends, brothers and sisters, we have a mission. We have a job to do. And I think the Lord today is saying, get on with it. Work hard. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Don't let disunity get in the way. Don't let peripheral issues get in the way. There's a job to do. Crack on and do it. So we're not afraid to talk about tricky stuff in this church. But we're also not going to allow politics to distract us from our mission to spread the gospel. Jesus is bigger than left wing and right wing. He challenges every wing at some point, believe me. Instead, look at this. I think this is so helpful for today. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. That means, even if you think the other person is a complete muppet because of their politics or whatever else, you be gentle to them. You be gentle to them. Even if you think they're a complete idiot, a lunatic, you be gentle to them. Because it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness. And I love this. It's not just being gentle in your head. Like, I can be gentle to someone. I'm being ever so gentle in my head, but everyone else looks as if I'm being really harsh. No. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Like, may everyone else see that you are gentle, that you're being gentle. May it be obvious to everyone. Let's just reflect for a moment, shall we? Maybe you might find it helpful just to close your eyes. Let's just reflect for a moment that there are differences between us. But Lord, in the things that shake us, we want to be united. Lord, it's a precious gift. Lord, we can see that shaking, change in the nation, change in the church, change in us, it strains relationships. So Lord, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to be gentle, and especially so with those that we disagree with. Lord, help me to do that better. Help us to do that better. In Jesus' name, amen. God's purpose in the shaking. Has anyone got one of those snow globes? If you don't know what I mean one of those things where you sort of shake it up and it starts snowing inside. It's all very pretty, isn't it? I think some people out there, hopefully not in here, but you never know. Some people think that God is a bit like that. that he's a kind of cosmic monster who just shakes things up once in a while and just enjoys watching people suffer. Like, you were getting on really well, weren't you? Right, shake that up a bit. Now that you've had a car crash, you know. The reason that cannot be true is that God himself has entered into our world, hasn't he? God has entered into our pain, into our suffering. I mean, that's what Christmas is all about, isn't it? It's God coming to us in the middle of all the pain and the suffering and the poverty and everything else. He's not outside gleefully shaking things up. He's with us in the middle of it and ultimately suffering the most unimaginable things for us, to save us. That's why I think that is nonsense. It cannot be true. So there must be a better answer. Why does God shake things up? Well, the passage in Haggai, I think, answers that for us. The shaking will bring glory, Haggai says. In verse 7 and twice in verse 9, he mentions glory. So how does that work? How does the shaking, how can God shaking things up, how can that bring glory? Okay, well, Hebrews chapter 12 is a commentary on that passage. Okay, this is what it says. He has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth but also the heavens. So that's a quote from Haggai chapter 2 verse 4 or 5 or something. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So it's saying when Jesus came, he shook up the Jewish system. When Jesus came, he shook up the Jewish system and all the layers of man-made rules. He shook it all up so that everything man-made fell away. So that only his kingdom remains. And his kingdom will not be shaken. Everything else will fall away to reveal what is solid. And that's the glory. That's the glorious thing, you see. That's the purpose of the shaking, to bring glory by revealing and purifying true faith. I think it's a bit like this. It's not a very good picture. I don't know if you've ever tried panning for gold. Ever tried that? Maybe not the real stuff, but there used to be sometimes in these children's adventure parks or whatever, you get a big sand pit, and in it is some, like, it's pretend gold, but the kids think it's real, and you put the mud and the sand in the pan, and you put the water in, you swill it around a little bit, and you barely see anything at first. It's just mud, but then you see the mud flows away, and you shake it and the water makes all the mud go away, and what's left is the good stuff, the gold. That's how God brings glory, by shaking. It's by removing everything else, and what remains is the good stuff. I wonder how your faith is today. I wonder, is it real? Is it genuine? Because this kind of shaking, when God shakes us, it's a test. It's a test to see what's left afterwards. Is there anything left in the pan afterwards? I wonder what will be revealed in us in 2026. We're all going to face shaking of one kind or other. We always do. I wonder what it will do to us in 2026. Will it make the glory shine brighter, I wonder? I often say it's a good thing to scratch your car. I think it's probably because for the first time I bought a relatively new car about 2 years ago, and I'm still living off the excitement of it. But it's made me dwell on this topic more than I thought I would, to be honest. If you love your car too much, then seeing your car getting scratched, that's not a bad thing. You know, seeing the idle getting damaged, that's not a bad thing, is it? That's a good thing, to have your idols broken down. The things you love too much to be gently, hopefully, taken away from you. Well, maybe you're not like that. Maybe you're not bothered about cars. So what if it's something else? What if it's your health? What if you have major health problems this year? Maybe if that's the shaking you receive this year, how are you going to respond? Is it going to make you angry and bitter and inward-looking and self-obsessed? Or maybe it will make you think, man, I was taking that for granted. I never even thought about my health before. And I so much took it for granted, and I've never had to trust him with my health before. Maybe even like Job says, though you slay me, yet I will hope in you. That would be glory shining through, wouldn't it? If you get sick this year and you say, God, it doesn't matter what you do. Even if I die, yet I will still hope in you. That's faith, isn't it? What if your business goes under this year? Or your visa doesn't get granted? Or your loved one dies? Or your citizenship gets pushed out? I know this is so real for some of you. Your citizenship gets pushed out 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. What do you do? It's interesting to me, God doesn't prevent shaking from happening. Remember Jesus at the end of his time on earth takes Peter to one side and says to Peter, Satan has asked to sift all of you. That's shake you up like on a sieve where you get wheat and whatever. Satan has asked to shake you all up. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith will not fail. Notice Jesus doesn't say, Satan's asked to sift you all, and I've said, no, you can't. That's not what it says. That's not what Jesus says. Because actually the shaking, the sifting is good for our faith. It's testing. It's seeing what's there, what will remain afterwards. Or is it all just pretend? But there's a beautiful promise there as well. I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Oh. You know, that makes the first bit all right, doesn't it? Can you see that? There's a promise that God makes in the shaking. I've prayed for you that your faith will not fail. God's purpose in shaking our world and your world, my world, is not to destroy us. It's not to destroy us. It's to take away our idols. That's what it's for. It's to cause us to run to him and rest and rely on him more. And he prays for us. He prays for you to sustain you, to keep you going. It says in Hebrews 7, verse 25, he always lives to intercede for his people. Jesus always lives to intercede for his people. The point is that every priest, every pastor, every small group leader is going to die. Everyone who prays for you today, they're not going to be around forever. Anyone who cares about your life on earth is not going to be around forever. That is not guaranteed. But Jesus lives forever. And he prays for you. He always lives to intercede for you. Or Romans 8:34, Jesus Christ, who is raised to life, is seated at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Maybe today you wonder, how will I get through this trial? How will I get through this change, this shaking? Jesus prays that your faith will not fail. And that means it won't. Because God hears the prayers of Jesus every single time. There's a really similar promise in that book of Haggai as well, that Benedict read for us. Be strong, work together, be united. The end of verse 4. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. I'm with you. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you, so do not fear. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That I am with you. I'm with you. And it's a covenant promise. A covenant promise is an unbreakable promise that God has made between himself and his people. I am with you always. Jesus reiterated it a couple of occasions. I'm with you always. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In the midst of whatever shaking might come your way in 2026, God's covenant promise through Jesus is to be with you. To be with you in it. And that he will not take his spirit from you. He will always remain with you. Hang on to those promises, dear brothers and sisters. Let's just reflect a moment, shall we? Then there's just one little bit left. Let's just take a moment to reflect on that. God's wonderful promises to us. He prays for us. And that he is with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You do not leave us in the middle of the shaking. Thank you that you are there. You came to this earth to demonstrate that once for all time. Lord, we give thanks to you. We are not alone. But we do ask you for courage and faith to face whatever may come our way in 2026. Cool building, huh? It's not AI. It's genuine, I promise you. Someone, for some reason, decides to build a church on that rock in the middle of nowhere. You see the little staircase going up to it. Just a colossal amount of work. It's almost like they built it to be a sermon illustration. I don't know. You remember what Jesus said? He told a little story in Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, this is what they're like. If you hear my words and do it, put it into practice, live like it, I'll show you what they're like, says Jesus. They're like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, the torrent that struck the house could not shake it because it was well built. Couldn't destabilize it. I'm sure he felt it shaking. There's limitations of language here, isn't there? Sure, they felt it shaking, but it wasn't destabilized, wasn't going anywhere. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. And the moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Like there's nothing left. I wonder, friends, at the start of 2026, what is your life built on today? Because storms are going to come. Shaking is going to come. It's inevitable. And it's not bad. It's not a bad thing to have our faith challenged. But only if you've built on a solid foundation. There's a dire warning in that story, isn't there, as well? It's also possible for everything that you've built to come crashing down. Its destruction was complete. It's possible for there to be nothing left. That is tragic. For a life to fall apart when tragedy comes, when suffering comes. So what foundation are you building on today? Is it going to just crumble someday with nothing left? Not just for now, but for all of eternity? You're going to be left with nothing? Because if you want a sure foundation, the sure foundation that God has given us is his word. It's the words of Jesus. Building your life on Christ. That is the only solid foundation that God has given humanity to build our lives upon. And building on that foundation, following Jesus, puts you into a kingdom, he says, that cannot be shaken. Shall we pray? Music team, come up. Haggai says, I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. So we say in response, come, Lord Jesus, come. You are the one desired by all nations. Everything in you is what people of every nation, tribe and tongue desire. Lord, come and fill your house with glory, we pray. And may we glorify you today by trusting in your word, by trusting what you have said to us, by living a life that is built on Christ. Lord, thank you for your promises to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you pray for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us. Help us to remember that whenever shaking comes our way, help us to remember. And when it does, may it reveal and purify true faith in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.